since that weekend was titled Qigong and Meditation. And so I would like to talk a little bit about what are the similarities or where they meet Qigong and meditation. So again, meditation is sitting still, watching the breath, or the meditation we are doing, at least at different kinds of meditation, but in this case a Vipassana meditation, watching your breath and being aware of what's going on. In the Qigong, you're moving, you be aware of your breath, and you also watch what's going on. So one is movement, this is a yang energy, which is like the Qigong, the movement and the stillness, and the other one is the sitting still and the stillness. So outward, it looks like they're different, but on the inside level, they are the same. And the major important part is the awareness. And one teacher said, the key to Qigong is mastering the mind. So in Qigong, meaning bring the mind back to the movements, to the breath, to the sensations again and again, right? You do the movements. Now at the beginning, you are still concerned so much with the form, so the mind is not spacing out too much, because, oh yeah, okay, here, left, right, okay, yeah, okay, what's doing, okay. Huh? So you actually, you know, very pretty much attentive. But once a level comes where you know quite well the movements, then the mind has a tendency, of course, to go away. So that means that's why a lot of the movements we repeat like 8 times. Usually you do one movement 8 times. So that means maybe you're spaced out 7 times, but it may be 1 time you get it. Something like that. Because in Tai Chi you just do it 1 time, right? And then you go into the next form, into the next picture, and you go into the next picture. So here in the Qigong you can sense more easily the flow of the Qi. So a lot of sometimes students would come who play Tai Chi quite a lot, and then they come to the Qigong and they say, ah, now I understand it, what's all about it. Before they were just doing the form, and the form was empty. It doesn't have any component in it, or not, you know, we're not really zapped with Qi, so to speak. They know the form quite well, but it was empty. So bring the mind back to the movements, to breath, to the sensations again and again. If you are mindful of your arm, you can't think about something else. Is that correct? Oh, makes sense. By returning again and again, we strengthen our concentration and thus be able to sense the flow of the Qi. Again, you bring it back again and again and again, and therefore you enhance the concentration. You can stay longer with the movement, or you can maybe penetrate more deeply the movement. The same, you go to the gym, right? You work out, whatever you do, you do it 1-2 times, nothing happened too much. But if you go over a period of time, let's say half a year, you go every week maybe twice or thrice to the gym, then over half a year or a year, you feel the effect of it. Something is building up. In the same way, when the mind is coming back again and again to the sensations, to the movement, the concentration builds up. And therefore, when the mind is concentrated, when it's collected, the mind, then it has a quality to penetrate more deeper and deeper. Or as it says in the meditation, when the mind is concentrated, then the wisdom appears. Then it's not so much, you know, faltering all over. In meditation, bringing the mind back to the breath, to the sitting posture, using them as an anchor, we strengthen our concentration, which will lead us to wisdom or in Vipassana to insights into anicca, dukkha, anatta. Right? Wisdom or concentration leads to wisdom. And so in both Qigong and in meditation, again, as I said, the mind is the most important thing, and the mind to come back again in Qigong to the movement, and in meditation to the breath, Vipassana meditation to the breath, or to the other sensations, what's going on, either sensations in the body or sensations, you know, or sounds and so forth. But more or less like you just come back to the present moment. And in order to come back to the present moment, you have to have a sort of an anchor, or the object of meditation. And in both ways, it's the body. In Qigong, the body in movement. In meditation, the body in stillness. And so there's one about saying of the Buddha. The mind is restless, unsteady, hard to guard, hard to control. The wise one makes it straight like a fletcher straightens an arrow. But what I wanted to do is that of mindfulness. It's by Nyerchel Kempo Rinpoche, Tibetan master. Mindfulness is the root of the Dharma, or awareness, one can also say awareness. Mindfulness is the body of practice. Mindfulness is the fortress of the mind. Mindfulness is the aid of the wisdom of innate wakefulness. Lack of mindfulness will allow the negative forces to overcome you. Without mindfulness, you will be swept away by laziness. Lack of mindfulness is the creator of evil deeds. Without mindfulness and presence of mind, nothing can be accomplished. Lack of mindfulness piles up a lot of shit. Without mindfulness, you sleep in an ocean of piss. Without mindfulness, you are a heartless zombie, a walking corpse. Dear Dharma friends, please be mindful. Oh. He doesn't, you know, he just lays it out straight away. So that is one thing, mastering of the mind in both ways, Qigong meditation. The other way is, in Qigong, one has to find the middle way between tension and relaxation, or between yin and yang, right? We did that already, like just with a hand. If it's too much tension, okay, you are not sensitive to the energies. If it's too less tension, too much yin, also you're not sensitive. So it's a middle way. Means too much tension, the muscles are tight, squeezing the blood vessels, and qi cannot flow. Pinching the nerves, compressing the space between the joints, that means blocking of qi. If it's too loose, the body collapses, shrinks, muscles are flaccid, it lacks vitality and spirit. Right, middle way. And the same, the middle way means also in the Qigong to let go of tension but not of substance. Very important. Let go of tension but not of substance. It means letting go of tension, it's not that you become like a, you know, 10-day-old vegetable, somewhere like that, that you sort of like collapse. But it's like to be full, to be present, but not rigid. That's what it means like with essence. You understand what I mean? Calm in motion, but with a vigorous presence, with vitality and spirit, but not like overdoing it. So it's like sometimes you see people, they come out from the gym, working out, but qi is not flowing. You see, it's stuck, the qi. It's full of qi, full of energy, but it's not flowing. Right? So that's another point. You have to look at it. Calm in motion, but with a vigorous presence, with vitality and spirit. And the spirit and the vitality is coming from the inside. You know, so it means the mind is also, you know, vital. Eyes are kind of like shining, you know the presence of somebody is full of energy, it's like, yes. In meditation, there was one story about in a Buddhist tradition, or in a Buddhist tradition, it says, a man could not progress. So then he got the instructions from the Buddha, you know, watch your breath and so forth and so forth, and then kind of, no progress. So then he went back to the Buddha, and the Buddha with his wisdom eye looked, and he saw that in his past life, this man was like a lute player. A lute, like an instrument with strings. And so that means, like he says, like, if it's too tight, he told him then, this example, if you tighten your lute too much, the strings will break. If you tighten the strings too loose, or they're too loose, it really, you know, doesn't make a pleasant sound. So in this case also, like, it's to find the middle way. And sometimes in meditation, it's like when you are too tight, it can come from a space of greed to attain something in the most possible short time. Maybe sometimes, you know, maybe that something occurred, okay, I do that retreat and I really go for it and maybe that's enough, you know, and so forth. So you can see the greed of the mind to do something, you know, in order to achieve something in a meditation. Grinding one's teeth to push hard. I remember once, we had a retreat with Jack Kornfield down in Switzerland, long time ago, 20 years ago. And so in the staff room then, so there were people from Italy, people from Switzerland, people from France, and people from Germany. And so they come into the interviews, no? As you know. And so then we ask, like, you know, how is it like the cultural difference, you know, background of people when they report their meditation experience? And he said, yes, so when the Italians coming in, they said, oh, and there was some light coming in and all this explosion in my heart and la la, and so forth and so forth. So that was the Italian way how to report. And then the French people come in and say, oh, gee, watch my breath, inhale, exhale. Nothing much happened. And the German coming in, oh, and I try very hard, you know, to stay on my breath, but somehow, you know, I can't stay with my breath and so. And then I said, well, and what about the Americans? So I asked Jack, what about the Americans, how they report? And he thought for a while and said, yeah, they always have something going on with their inner child. They have to nourish the inner child or something like that. Anyway. So, okay, so if the mind is too tight, there's greed in the mind to achieve something in a meditation, right, some goal. And on the other hand, if it's too loose, why bother? Let the mind take holiday. Let the mind go for a holiday. There's nothing else to achieve anyway, something like that. So it's like, you know, so in order again to find that middle way. Or this example, like if you want to boil some water, you put a pot on the flame and you turn it on. Okay. Then before the water is boiling, you turn it off. Okay. Then after some time, you turn it on again, off, on, off. So actually what happens in the water will never boil. But if you just keep a low flame, and you just keep it on that low flame, eventually it will boil the water. And the same way like with a meditation. Like when you do retreat or your whole day, it's the mindfulness or the awareness starts at the moment you wake up. I remember my first retreat in Wat Suan Mok in Thailand, Ajahn Buddhadasa. He said, in the morning, when you wake up, you wash your face with awareness. And it stuck, you know, it was so long time ago, but still in the morning, like, you know, wash your face. Okay, you wash it with awareness. And then you keep that awareness sort of like going throughout the whole day. And the thing is, like, the awareness is always present, right? It's not like, try to think a thought without being aware. Try that. Just think a thought without being aware. Can do? So that means without awareness, nothing is. Ramana Maharshi said, you are awareness, and awareness is another name for you, so there's nothing to achieve or to gain. It's just this recognition. Like, and it has this movement of receptivity, not the striving, not the young movement to going out, but the receptiveness. Or as Lao Tzu said, know the male, but hold on to the female. This receptiveness, this relaxed awareness, not trying to gain anything, to get somewhere, to stay on the object of your meditation, whatever, but just to let it happen. And that is in more this receptive way. And in this case with the body, what we are doing here on that weekend is like, you stay with your body and you let all whatever comes to your senses, you just let it happen. But you stay present with your body. So use the body as an anchor of awareness. Okay. And again, in Qigong, nothing to acquire, no qi to get. We already have qi, otherwise we would be dead. Correct? And usually actually when people die, it starts from the feet. Life force is leaving the feet, cold feet. And then also we say like in Germany, if you have fear, you have cold feet. I don't know whether we say that here too. Yeah? And so that's when it starts. I remember when my mother was dying, was the feet started to, no blood circulation anymore. And it just went up. So, in Qigong, accumulated tension, blockages, stiffness as well as thoughts, emotions, and so what blocks the Qi. Again, a Qi robber, we call it, is emotions. No, we all know that emotions of whatever it is, of fear blocks the Qi, right? Or, maybe I have that written down somewhere. Or, anger is a big Qi robber. Anger. Or jealousy. Or, you know all that stuff. But I read it, if I can find it, I'll read you that. My little wise book. So emotions are qi robbers. Pardon?
Just negative emotions.
See, for the Chinese it's interesting that we did before also like the joy, like when it's overdoing it, then it also becomes negative. Like for us, like, what joy, come on, you know, we all want to be happy and so, but it's just when the wave sort of like is breaking, when it becomes too much. Then it's like, okay, I just have it in German, but I'll translate it. Anger and rage, let the chi kind of like, you know, come up to the mind, right? When somebody's angry, you can see the face is red, you know, like, oh, here the veins come out, you know, like, oh, okay. Then, Sorgen und Kummer means like worries and problems and all that. Let the chi becomes like knotted or stagnation of the chi. Worries and problems, let the chi stagnate or sort of like twisted.
Inviting?
Anxiety.
When you said worries, what came for me was the most anxious, anxiety.
Anxiety, yeah, okay, in some part, yeah. But it's more like worry and problems and all that, sort of like the earth element, the spleen. Then depression and sadness, destroy the chi and let it sink. You know, when somebody said, like, you know, the grieving, the chi sort of like sink, the body sinking, the body is, you know, getting in this position, right? It's not like that when you're depressed or so, right? It's like that contraction. And he said, like, anxiety and nervousness, anxiety, hectic and stress, emptying the chi. It's just, you know, getting spelled out like cho. And fear, verlangsamen den chi fluss, they slow down the chi energy or the chi flow. They slow down. And destroy the chi. So anyway, generally, like chi are emotions, negative emotions are chi robbers. So just next time you think you're going through some emotional stuff, and just check it out. And so what is very good, like to counteract it. Okay, in one way is like you can just let it happen. You know, as we all know from the meditation, you just observe it, you accept it, and so forth. And also on the other hand, to because it's usually somewhere located in your body, the emotion. No, when you observe the emotion, right, in meditation, you know, instruction, some emotion coming up, you go out of the story, you go into your body, where you feel the anger, where you feel it, the tightness, the knot, where you feel the fear, all right? You go from the level of, like, of the mental level, you go out of the mind, you observe it in the body. And then you see what's going on as you observe it in the body, whether it's moving to this place, whether it gets stronger or whatever, whatever. But if you get out of the story already, you have half of the rent already, because the story feeds that particular emotion. How can she do that? Da da da. And that's kind of like another one. So getting out of the story, observing the emotion in your body, and then see what happens. So meditation, again, nothing to achieve, nothing to gain. Means nothing can be lost. Pure radiance of the mind is already present like the sun. It's only the clouds are the hindrances. Clouds are our ideas how things has to be. Anicca. Letting go of hindrance, by their nature they will pass. By their nature they have that tendency to pass away. It's only when we feed it, when you give it energy. Like, I remember Ramana again once used to say, when there's, you know, that stuff going on in your mind, that quarreling or, you know, inner dialogue, monologue, whatever, he said, like, just look at it as if there are some people quarreling at a street corner. Who cares what they're quarreling there? You know, why should I get involved in their quarreling or so? So there's different things sometimes, you know, which were helpful in my practice. So again, meditation, nothing to achieve. The radiance of the mind is already present. Very important. It's always we try to get, you know, clear-minded or so forth. No, the work is, so to speak, if you want to call it work, is to let go of the obstacles. But the obstacles will be always there, because it's a nature of the mind to think. It's a nature of the ear is to listen, the nature of the eye is to see, the nature of the nose to smell, the nature of the body to touch, the nature of the tongue to smell. So it's a nature of the mind to see. So it's perfectly all right. It's not like that you sit here, you know, and you have no thoughts. Then you become like a zombie. Okay, sometimes it's nice, of course, you know. It's like if it's, you know, quiet and so forth, you know. Because people think already meditation, good meditation happens when there's no thought, just, you know, clear light or whatever, not so. Right? As I said before, the mind is a good servant, but a bad master. Right? So the servant, you call in, okay, they do that job, you know, plan your ticket, okay, tomorrow I have to go to the bar, rent a car, da-da-da-da, okay, and then you put him aside again, cello. Same like a good waiter. Huh? A waiter is serving you, but when he serves you the food, then he stays in the background. He's not always around, you know, looking what's going on and so forth. Because the other day I was eating, you know, in a restaurant here, I don't know where it was, somewhere here in the country, and I was having a conversation with a friend, a very, you know, interesting conversation, and I was also at the very end of the meal, and then the waitress came, and then she sort of like, you know, she talked to me like, you know, do you want anything to, you know, to drink or something like that, you know? But I didn't call her, right? I just, you know, so I didn't, you know, pay attention to her because I was really involved in a very interesting conversation. And then she kind of like pushed me and said, no, do you want now something to drink or not? So I said, wow, you know, that's not really the job of a waiter or waitress. I call, when I will something, I call and she's there, yes, coming, doing the job, but otherwise, okay, cello. So, this is something about the difference or the similarity between Qigong and meditation. But remember, both most important part is the mind. Mind numero uno, the awareness, the presence. Whatever is happening, it's all right. There's nothing wrong with anything. Because only wrong is only makes the mind. As I said the other day about the paradise, maybe I said it today. Paradise means para, again, from the Greek, means before. And paradise means before there was the duality, thank you. Because when the eightfold tree of knowledge, the knowledge coming in, oh yeah, I know better than you, something like that. Or knowledge coming in about good and evil, right? And so before that is a non-duality, and that's a paradise, and it's not some place somewhere else. Didn't I say that today already?
Yes.
Okay. So that means the paradise is just a state of mind. A state of mind which doesn't judge. The way is not difficult for those who have no preferences. Third Zen patriarch. If you make the slightest distinction between yes and no, or heaven and hell, okay, you are gone, so to speak. Or you're caught in samsara. There was this book, I think, in Eckhart Tolle's new book, what's the name? A New Earth, or whatever it's called, and he said about Krishnamurti, Jiddu Krishnamurti, very famous teacher, and at one point, he was teaching on this in 30 years, and he had following him everywhere, you know, like the Grateful Dead, something like that. And at one point he said, like, okay, now I'm going to tell you my secret. And everybody, oh yeah. And he said, my secret is I don't mind what's happening. Or I don't have anything against what's happening. And that's like this total acceptance what is, yes. But it's not that you think that you let everything happen to you. That's a lot of people think, you know, that's a spiritual misunderstanding, that you become like a doormat, you know, and everybody, you know, walks over you and you say yes and fine, you know, to everything. It's not like that. But at the moment when it happens already. So that's where the acceptance coming in. And then you still can, you know, say, hey, stop it or whatever. What comes then out of this moment then your action or your reaction or your response, rather than a reaction, your response. And the response, what we did at a stress reduction clinic was, we call it a breath break. So if somebody, you know, assaults you, whether it's your boss, your spouse, or your children, or whatever, before you retail, before you react, you stop for a moment. And you go like breath breaks, like three breaths. And out of that still space of the three breaths, maybe there's a different opportunity coming up how you can respond to that particular situation or to that particular assault. The range will open up. With a reaction, it's like coming eyeball to eyeball, tooth to tooth, or something like that. But with a response, okay, maybe there's another way. How can I respond to that situation? Okay, that's enough talking. So, again, Qigong, meditation, both. standing on one foot and the other one on both legs, so to speak. So again, when you practice, 100 days, that's what it says. 100 days you practice, after 100 days you know whether it works or not. If it doesn't work, you throw it out. If it works, you keep going.